You're here today. I wish you'd brought a dozen friends each. Pastor Manning, it's an honor to see you in our midst and your lovely bride, all the way from Oklahoma City. We were honored to be in Oklahoma City recently for the passing of Daryl's father, who was a tremendous man of God, and we went up to be there and join them in saying goodbye. It was Sunday, December the 10th, 1978, you'll remember. And a group of about 30 people gathered at what was that time the Wheelis Lane Missionary Baptist Church. They had just gone through a breakup and were shutting the church down because there was a discussion over whether or not they were going to allow blacks to go to their church. Their loss, our gain. But we started a Bible study on Christ the Healer on Sunday afternoons. And then July the 19th, 1979, we formed a church board, met together and incorporated and applied for our 501c3 and became officially a church July the 19th, 1979. And we've been a church family ever since. Just a couple of years down the road, 1982, I was ministering and Buddy Bell was in the service and I was ministering on the blood of Jesus. And Buddy said, "There's a guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma named Larry Huggins who preaches some of the same stuff you do. You need to meet him." And so we contacted Larry, and since that time, for 25 years plus, Brother Larry has been coming into House of the Lord and ministering to our church family. And it's an honor to have him back with us today. I'm going to ask Brother Joel to come. He's going to be doing the morning assemblies Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. There'll be a session here, and Brother Joel Tassiello will be ministering. I want you to be here for those. Joel, would you come and share just a moment? I'm not sure how that gets turned on.
It's at the top on the side.
Huh?
It's the top on the side.
Right here?
No.
Check, check. Is it there?
Yep.
There we go. Well, let me say, it is an honor to be here with you guys. This is just home away from home. I thoroughly enjoyed myself last year, and I intend on doing no less this year. And Pastor Jim asked me just to kind of give a synopsis of where I'm heading in the morning sessions. How many of you plan to be here in the morning? Let me just see that. Very, very good. I've grown up my whole life in church. How many's done the same? How many's not? Okay, very cool. I believe I'm seeing a common thread of some roadblocks that believers are having to receiving their breakthrough. So I'm going to be dealing in part with some false expectations of God, false expectations of what ministry is and how it flows, and false expectations regarding blessings and miracles. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not my common practice, although I'm finding that I'm doing a lot of things these days that has not been a common practice, but I'm going to quote a Satanist today because I think it's going to lay a little groundwork for tomorrow morning, okay? This is an article. I'm just going to read just a few paragraphs. It says, "A friend asked me to speak to a woman with an unusual life on a chat program a number of years ago. And by an unusual life, I mean that she was a full-fledged practicing Satanist, and our conversation changed my life forever. As we chatted, she said to me, 'I know that your God is very powerful.' I answered her in a confused way, and I said, 'Then why don't you give your life to my God?' She typed back, 'Because my God would kill me.' So I tried to assure her that my God could and would protect her, but her fear was too great. Then came the comment that challenged and shocked me. She said, "If your God is so powerful and he has given you authority, why don't Christians take it?"
Rise up, church.
So I'm here this week. I promise you to have fun. You're going to have fun of a morning session to keep people awake, right? But I want to deal with where we're at, where we're going, how are we going to get there. I'm ready for some practical stuff. I want the hands-on stuff. You with me? So I'd love to see you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock.
Thank you, Joel. This morning, at the conclusion of the morning assembly, in the front foyer, the north foyer, we'll be having cake and punch to celebrate 38 years as a church family, growing together, rising up together, blessing one another and emboldening one another to be the witness that we are called to be. My sister, Jane Tassiello, and her husband, Joe, are with us also. She, of course, much older than I. Two years my junior. I had come to visit in Oklahoma City, and Brother Joel was doing music ministry for Pastor Manning. And this is when we were on Runberg Lane, and I said, "You need to come down for camp meeting this year. You need to be there." And he asked his mom about this strange uncle that was telling him he needed to come to camp meeting at House Lord, but he came down. Dr. Lemon was ministering, and Joel hadn't been the same since. The power of God changes lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm expecting today the power of God to show up. First, in the Word. Second, in confirmation of the Word Brother Larry brings. And then third, I believe the gifts of the Spirit will flow and God will touch lives. If you're not expecting something this week, then as Brother Hagin used to say, reach inside and adjust your expector. Daddy God, you have something for me. Daddy God, you have something for the person sitting around me. Because you don't want to be stingy with all the blessings. Spread it around. But God has something for you today, and I believe that it will be good. How many of you are here for Brother Ken's class this morning? Did he look surprised when he came in and his lectern was gone? I attended another church yesterday afternoon, and they had the same type of pedestals, industrial, and I asked the pastor if he had seen the lectern that went with it, and he said, "No, give me the name of the company so I can find it." And I said, "That's okay. House of the Lord would like to donate a lectern to your ministry." So I gave away Brother Ken's lectern, and we'll have to find another one. But you sowed a seed into another church, and we're expecting an abundant return on it. Because give, and it shall be given unto you. And I want to spread your seed everywhere we go. Because the more we invest in other churches, other ministries, the more God blesses us. Put your hands together and give the Lord an offering of thanks for Brother Larry Huggins as he comes.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. Well, happy anniversary, everybody. 38 wonderful years at the House of the Lord, and I've gotten to be here for most of them. Praise the Lord. I remember being at the bank. I remember being at the big tin barn. I don't know what you call that thing. I call it the tin barn. You were there for a while. Runberg and here. Was there another place I missed? I-35, yeah, I-35. Well, stand up with me. Brother Kenneth, I like that story about the monk. I read a story about this monk that went to heaven, and he said to Jesus, I have one thing to ask you. Why did you tell me to be celibate? And the Lord said, you weren't listening. I said, celebrate. Let me tell you something interesting. I got one of these in the mail. And I never made it past the first page because my picture was there, and it's 35 years old, and I thought, wow, that's like a time capsule there, you know. And I didn't read this on the back. I should have, but I'm glad I didn't. Because the Lord gave me a message. He said, I want you to preach on due season. I didn't even read it. Isn't the Holy Ghost great? He'll just pull your fat out of the fire. Hallelujah. So we're gonna talk about due seasons today. And from my point of view, that was a word of knowledge that the Lord gave me, even though it was published for everybody to read. But I'm glad God is in the business of orchestrating things. Do you believe that the steps of good people are ordered by the Lord? I believe that. I believe that we're not here accidentally. I don't believe we're here just because we received an invitation or we were expected to be here. We could be a lot of places. Circumstances could have intervened. Maybe it was a challenge for you to be here, but I believe it is a divine appointment. Steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will order your footsteps. Praise God. Lift up your hands and receive the blessing of God today. Father, I pray that you baptize each and every one of us with the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epinosis of Jesus. We want to see further. We want to have a more clear picture of who Jesus really is. Not history's Jesus, not Hollywood's Jesus, not even religion's Jesus, but the real resurrected right here, right now, living Jesus. Open our eyes so that we can see into the realm of God. Open our ears so that we can hear the truth of your word. And open our hearts so that we can comprehend what you're showing us and what you're telling us so that we can be found doing your will from the heart. I ask your blessing on everyone this week. Each and every one of us have expectations. And I believe that this is a week of moving into that due season. I'm believing that each and every one of us will step over into that divine blessing you have scheduled for us. And Father, I pray that you'll allow me to stand in the office you've called me to. Stretch your hands out towards here and ask God to use me today. And that you will release whatever gifts and graces, spiritual endowments that you wish to release through me to get your will done. I'll do my very best to obey you. I'll do my very best to be faithful to what you tell me to do, nothing less, nothing more. And I thank you that you confirm your word that's preached with signs following. I'm expecting the blessings of God to be manifest here today, and I'm going to ask you, God, to show off, to demonstrate your power and your love and your divine ability. Yes. And I will be the very first one to give you glory for everything you do this week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, let's minister to the Lord, Brother Richard.
I stand in awe. I stand. stand.
I stand in awe of you.
Let's lift our hands.
I stand in awe of you. Holy God, through whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Praise the Lord for his goodness. Do you feel his spirit here today? The Bible says we should feel after him, if happily we might find him, for he's not very far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. He is closer to you than the air that envelops you. He's more intimate with you than the breath that's in your blood right now. He's around you, he's in you, he's through you. What you and I need to do is just make a decision to allow God to have his way inside of us. Lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Feel after him from the tips of your fingers through your arms, from the top of your head, through the center of your body, down your legs to the feet, to the tip of your toes. Let the anointing flow. Let the anointing flow. Let the anointing flow. I, for one, purpose to yield myself to the Holy Spirit and his anointing as much as I can, just to be a yielded vessel. We need to learn how to be yielded to him, not resist him, but cooperate with him, to walk in him, to speak and let him speak through us, and to touch with the anointing of heaven that's in us. Thank you for filling your people with the anointing today. Say this with me. Say, thank God I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. His anointing is upon me, within me, and flowing through me. And by his grace, I will yield to him more than ever before. I will receive what God has for me this week. And I will walk out your will for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise his holy name. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Jesus, you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I praise you and thank you. Amen and amen. Wow, I just know in my spirit we are in for a very special time this week. I know we've had some remarkable times together. Some of my fondest memories have been here with Pastor Jim, Pastor Lou, you, the house of the Lord. But I believe God's getting ready to surpass anything you and I have ever experienced. Praise the Lord. I really do believe that. That's not just preacher talk. I've got an expectation. And I'm going to have to tell you, if you don't get in and get your blessing, Joel might get it. Hallelujah. He might just double up, get yours and his. Praise God. I know for sure I'm kind of turned that way. If you're not going to get your blessing, I'm going to say, well, Lord, just let it come on me, because I know what to do with it. Praise God. So get your blessing. Shout that out. Say, I want my blessing. I'm here for my blessing. I'm not going to miss my blessing. And then seal it by saying amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Wow. I have another word for you, too, and all your helpers and friends. Your due season musically is about to break forth internationally. Where there have been 10 churches singing your songs, there will be 1,000 churches singing your songs. I believe, and I've noticed this, I believe some of you older ones in the ministry know this too, God has released special prophetic songs for every revival. The good songs, the powerful songs, come out of revivals and moves of God. And in between, we just sing and do the best we can with what we have. But you've been writing songs for a revival that you've only seen by faith. You knew in your heart it was coming. And God was preparing you and giving you a Holy Spirit repertoire of prophetic songs to release in the earth for a time that is, I'm not going to say it's yet to come. We are now on the cusp. We're now on the boundary. We are one step away from that revival. I believe that God raised up many voices. One was David Ingalls to be the voice of the Word of Faith movement. He sang the word and he got those songs prophetically. He would travel with Brother Hagin and he would get a song almost every time Brother Hagin had a revelation to preach. David Ingalls would have a song that would represent that revelation and release it. You know, when you sing the word, it does something to you. When you sing the word, music is so powerful. I can't sing songs that are contrary to the Word of God. I change them. I mean, I go to a lot of churches and the songs are so weak. I'm still prophesying to you, by the way. The songs are so weak theologically that I can't even let those words come out of my mouth. I'm not going to sing a bunch of junk. Because when you sing it, it affects your soul. It affects your mind very deeply. We remember things that we put to verse, we put to rhyme, we put to song, we put to melody. And so I just change the songs. I edit them while I'm singing them. You know, that's a lot of hard work to edit a song while you're singing it and to take out the unbelief and put faith in it. Do you ever do that? You ever have to edit a song? I do it all the time. And what I usually do is I just sing in tongues. Because I'm not going to sing unbelief. And I guarantee you, when you're singing in the Spirit, you can't sing unbelief or doubt. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So you're singing, when you're singing in the Spirit, you're singing truth. Praise God. They're going to be singing your songs all over the earth. They're going to be singing these songs. And there's going to be so much joy on the earth. They're going to be singing your songs far and near. They're going to be singing your songs, and it won't just be here. Lift your hands. They're going to be singing your songs everywhere you go. Everybody will believe. Everybody will know. They're going to know your name. They'll know who you are. Because in heaven above, God's made you a star. Well, that's biblical. We're supposed to shine as the stars in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you just minister to the Lord for a minute there? I feel like be prophetic this week. You got a song in the Spirit? Well, sing in tongues. That'll get her going. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up.
Show you the way. I am the way. Oh, thank you, Father.
The Bible says, yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. The Bible says that we should sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs unto the Lord. I believe that was a larger part of New Testament worship in the early years than it is today. I was reading a church history, and it said that in the first century church, everyone in the church was expected to sing a song of their own composition in their own voice before they left the service. Isn't that something? You couldn't even go home until you had a Holy Ghost song. I guess for a large 20,000 member church, nobody ever get to go home. But Sister Michelle and Brother Richard hold something dear that I do, and I know you do too. And Mama Jo did as well. And that is the great revelation of praying with the Spirit and praying with the understanding. And singing with the Spirit and singing with the understanding. And this is the way true psalmists operate. Singing in the Spirit and singing with the understanding. You remember Jenny Grine? God really blessed me through Jenny Grine so many years, and she went to FCF in Tulsa for a number of years, and so we'd been friends, buddies for a long time and ministered together. And she and I, later on in life, had been a hiatus there where I had not seen her for maybe a decade. That happens sometimes, you know, people just running in different circles. And we were blessed to be part of the same camp meeting up in Milwaukee. And she came in, and of course, she'd been taking care of Bill for a number of years, and you could see the wear and the weariness on her. And she looked a little dowdy. She kind of had a mature woman's haircut and a mature woman's dress style. And she didn't have that buzz that she used to have, you know. And I talked to her privately. I said, "Jenny, where's the Jenny that I used to know with the smoky, fiery red hair?" And described her, and she told me what she'd been going through. I said, "You need to capture that. That's the real you." She came back that night. She'd been to the beauty salon. She had her hair cut and spiked up, and it was flaming red. And I told her, I said, "Be sure and bring your guitar." And she brought her guitar. And I got a lot of people down front. You've seen, actually, last time I was here, you saw Bill, Renee, and I do this same thing. And we got a line of people. I asked Pastor Jim, I said, "Call up the people that you think ought to be up here." And he did. And that's what I did in Milwaukee. I told the pastor, I said, "You call up the people you think should be up here for ministry." And you can see the Holy Spirit just leading him. He got a line of people. And I went to the first one. I said, "Jenny, play your guitar over him." She started strumming. I said, "Sing in tongues." She sang in tongues, and I sang the interpretation. That person started weeping and fell on their knees. Went to the next one. I sang in tongues. She interpreted in song, and they wept and fell on their knees. And you could just see the Holy Spirit going down the line. Tongues and interpretation of tongues through song. What is it then? I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding too. Let's be ready to move in and out of this as the Lord wills this week, okay? One thing that a prophet needs is a psalmist. The prophet and the psalmist are hooked up together in such a supernatural way that one helps the other. Now, you know my psalmist for many, many years was Brother Doyle Tucker, and he's been in the house of the Lord, and he and I got into some things that were so amazing, things I'm trying to release back in the earth, but Brother Doyle had a revelation from heaven on prophetic worship that's just nothing like it. And then he passed away a few years ago. You're going to have to pray for me because I got mad. I wasn't like sad. I was mad. I wanted to go to heaven and just slap him around and say, "What are you doing leaving me down here by myself? You and I are supposed to be working together, blessing people." But God is raising up psalmists. and putting them back in their office again. I don't like it when people call me a speaker. You know, go to church, and I mean, it happens all the time. They'll say, well, our speaker today is Brother Larry Huggins. Anyone with a mouth can speak. And you don't even need a person. You can put a tape or a CD or whatever, you know, YouTube, get someone to speak. What we need is a word from the Lord. Praise God. Amen. We need a prophetic word. We need a now word. We need an inspired word. A word fitly spoken in due season. We're going to be talking about due season today. A word fitly spoken in due season is like apples of gold framed with pictures of silver. In other words, it's precious. It's not just getting a word, but it's getting a word at the right time. Out of the blue, I called Odell Allen a few weeks ago, and he said, my God, he said, I just asked God 5 minutes ago that I needed a word from the Lord. I just called him because I had a word for him. And the timing was such that the impact it had upon him was tremendous. We weren't just having a conversation. Something random, the Lord spoke to me and said, pick up the phone right now and call Odell Allen. And 5 minutes before, he had been talking to God and said, I need a word from heaven. A word fitly spoken in due season. I want you to say this. You don't have to shout it. Say, this is my due season. All right. Thank you very much. Little bit of word here. You already know this. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Don't be weary. Don't be burdened. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't even be tempted to quit. Don't entertain the thought of quitting. There's nothing to quit to. There's nothing to go back to. We talk about the good old days. The good old days weren't that good. You just forgot. These are the best days we've ever had right now. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not pining away for the good old days. Would have been, could have been, should have been. I'm not looking back to Egypt. I'm looking to the promised land. Hallelujah. There's something ahead of us. Your life lies ahead of us. There are blessings ahead of us. There are things yet to receive, yet to do ahead of us. Praise God. So do not, this is a commandment, do not. You know, the Bible is full of thou shalt not. Thou shalt not be weary in well-doing. Does that help you? Thou shalt not. It's a sin to quit. God has no pleasure in the soul that turns back. It is a sin to quit. It's a sin to give up. Those are the sins that easily beset us. Besetting us means to knock us out of the race. And that's a sin. God's not nearly as upset about smoking, drinking, and cussing as he is quitting. In fact, the people that are struggling in that area need to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Don't quit. Don't run from God. Run to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be weary in well-doing. 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 Doing well. Being well. Being a blessing, going to church, reading the Bible, praying to God, worshiping him, singing songs, honoring God with your tithes and your offerings. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep on keeping on. For, and I like this because it's the strongest assertion in the English language, you shall reap. Shall. Not hope so, not maybe so. But you shall. Let me tell you something. I don't want you to ever forget this. God is not a man that he should lie. In fact, it's impossible for God to lie. If someone asks you, is everything possible with God? You say, yeah, with one exception. He can't lie. That's something God can't do. It's something God won't do. His word is true. What he said, he meant. What he promised, he will do. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's not lying when he says, I'll bless them that bless me. Hallelujah. God's not lying when he says, I'll multiply the seed that you sow. God's not lying when he says you're going to reap in due season if, that's conditional, if you don't quit. If, that's the condition, if you don't quit. It's guaranteed you will reap. It is guaranteed, signed, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, delivered by the Holy Ghost. You shall reap. You shall reap. Yes, you shall reap. God said it. It's true. God can't lie. What he promised, he will do. You shall reap. You shall reap. You shall reap. You shall reap. You're going to reap. Praise God. God may not pay on the 1st and the 15th, but payday's coming. Hallelujah. What God promised, he will do. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, your payday's coming. Amen. You shall reap. You shall reap. Your payday's coming, Michelle. Your payday's coming. Your payday's coming. You've been hoping, believing, confessing, sowing, giving, expecting your blessing. Let me tell you something. You are so close. It's imminent. It's upon you. You're about ready to break through. You're about ready to step over. You're about ready to enter into Beulah land. You shall reap if you don't faint. I don't see any quitters in this room. If you were going to quit, you would have quit a long time ago. I know what this church is been through in 38 years. It has been good, but it hasn't been without a price or a cost. There have been tests and trials of faith, and it has been difficult at times. So if you were going to quit, you would have already quit. You know what? You ain't got no quitting sense. You just ain't got no quitting sense, do you? You know, I think the devil's pretty much come to the conclusion that he can't talk you into quitting. Look at Pastor Jim. He never quit. A lot of people would have quit if they'd gone through what he went through, but he didn't quit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's a pretty good example. We need to be followers of them who their faith and patience have inherited the promises, who through their faith and patience, James said, let patience have her perfect work that you might be perfect, that means mature, entire, wanting nothing. Patience. Now let me help you. This is going to help you. The word patience doesn't mean what most people think it means. We use the word patience like this. You kids are on my last nerve. My patience is thin. People are just sitting, waiting, patient. Patience does not mean doing nothing. Patience doesn't mean just sitting down waiting for God to do something. Patience means perseverance. Let perseverance have a perfect work, and then you'll be perfect, and then you'll be entire, and then you'll be wanting nothing. Let perseverance keep on keeping on. Put one step in front of another. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. That's patience. Patience is saying, okay, I know God's moving, but I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to do everything that I need to do. I need to pray, I'm going to pray. I need to confess, I'm going to confess. I need to empty my closet so God can fill them up. I'm going to get busy and empty my closets. I'm going to clean out my garage for my new car. I'm going to clean out my garage. Praise God. While I'm at it, I might put some tile in there, black and white checkerboard, and decorate it with a jukebox and a big clock on the wall. I'm going to get ready. Hallelujah. I'm going to do everything that I know how to do. Patience is perseverance. I'm going to help you today. Look at your neighbor and say, he's here to help us. Patience is stubbornness with a purpose. Now, that's very good. Because you are some of the most stubborn people I have ever been around in my life. And you come out of good stock. Pastor Jim, I mean this as humbly and sincerely as I can. I mean to flatter you. You are a stubborn individual. My God, Pastor Jim, are you stubborn? When you get on a promise of God, you just won't let go. When God gives you a goal, you just don't know how to quit. Stubbornness is faith. Everybody wants a definition of faith. You know, what is faith? It's just stubbornness that's going in the right direction. Hallelujah. Stubborn for God's word. Stubborn for his blessing. Stubborn for his promises. If you have a natural tendency, Rob, I think there's some stubbornness inside of you. I'm not going to look around, but I think you're a stubborn person. Maybe even hard-headed. That's what your wife says. That's why I'm not looking around. But you know what happened? God took that stubbornness and that hard-headedness and sanctified it and turned it around, got it going in the right direction. Perseverance is stubbornness with a purpose. You got a purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. My father used to call me HHH, Hard-Headed Huggins. He said, boy, I believe you would argue with a signpost. I said, I'm a chip off the old stump. It takes one to know one. Hallelujah. Something about the Huggins is we are stubborn people. Praise God. That is a good quality. I want you to say this in love and look at your neighbor and say, you are a stubborn person. Joseph was a stubborn person. Jacob was a stubborn person. Paul was a stubborn person. Anyone who's ever done anything for Jesus has had a stubborn streak on the inside of them. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to equivocate. I am not going to quit, and my due season is coming. Hallelujah. Ain't hell nor high water going to keep me. Nobody's discouraging me. I don't care what other people do, but I'm going to keep on doing what God has for me to do, and I ain't quitting. That isn't good English, but it's good preaching. I ain't quitting. Feels good to say I ain't quitting. Somebody here ought to say I ain't quitting. Some of you grammarians can't see it. I shall not quit. I will not quit. Oh, come on, get over it. I ain't quitting, man. I ain't got no quitting set. Don't plan on quitting. Ain't never quit, and I'm not going to quit. Hallelujah. Because I got a due season. Payday is coming for me. Yes. All right, it gets better. It gets better. You shall reap in due season. Due season. A season that's scheduled for you, when it's due, when the timing is right, when God has everything lined up, when all the tumblers of the combination lock fall into alignment in the due season, hallelujah. The doors are going to open. The floodgates are going to open. The blessings are going to start flowing. A due season. It gets better. Due means something that is owed to you, that is due you, that has been promised you. It is something you can demand. You can put a demand on God. Frank Folio's old grandmother was an Italian immigrant, and she spoke in broken English, and she loved to do everything in her kitchen. She cooked for her family, she fed them, and she prayed in her kitchen. And at night, Frank said he'd hear his grandmother down there talking to God, and she'd have the Bible open, and she'd be pointing, and she'd say, hey, you, God, put your nose right here. Did you write to this word right here? Well, you better get busy and start doing what you said you were going to do. She had a revelation of a due season. Praise God. If God promised it, you can keep him on task. Hallelujah. Hold his. He said, prove me herewith, says the Lord of hosts. You can demand it. Your faith will put a demand on his promises. Remember God is not slack concerning his promises. Remember, it is God's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. When you put a demand on God, it pleases God. He wants you to believe him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to expect him to perform. He's not offended when you say, hey, God, put your nose right here. Did you write this? Well, you better get busy and do what you promised you're going to do. Hey, God, praise God. Hey, God, you promised me my family would get saved. Hey, God, you said that my household would get saved. Hey, God, you promised that you'd supply all of my needs. Hey, God, you told me you'd raise me up and use me. Hey, God, everybody shout, hey, God, put your nose right here. Amen. Now give him a hand clap because he's going to do what he promised he's going to do. And it gets better. It gets better. Has it been okay so far? It gets better. Hallelujah. A due season is your own personal prophetic season that's marked by the end of one era and the beginning of an entirely new era. A due season is your own personal prophetic season that's marked by the end, the conclusion of one era and the beginning of an entirely new era. Not just a new day, a new era. Hallelujah. Not just a new incident, a new era. Not just a new occurrence or a new happening, a new era. An era is an extended period of time, a period of time that has certain visible characteristics. Hallelujah. You have an era coming that God has planned for you, and you're not going to get blessed for a day. You're not going to get blessed for a week. You're going to be blessed for the rest of your days and the rest of your eternity because God has supernaturally, prophetically scheduled a due season for you, which is marked by the end of one era. I don't know about you, but I'm glad some things are coming to a conclusion. I'm glad that that era is closing behind me. I'm glad that God opens a door, but I'm glad he closes the door. Hallelujah. And God is about ready to close the door on the rest of that junk and open up a door to his blessings. Hallelujah. And it won't be for a day. It won't be for a week. It won't be for a month. It won't be for a year. It'll be an era. It'll be a long, long time of living in his blessing. Be a long, long time of living in his love. Gonna be a long, long time of walking in his blessings. Gonna be a long, long time of living in his love. It's gonna be a long, long time of walking in his blessings. Gonna be a long, long time of living in his love. Gonna be a long, long time of walking in his blessings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're gonna have a due season. The door is about to close. Gonna have a due season. He's gonna open another door. He's gonna have a due season. More and more and more. Yeah, God's open up a door. I'm talking about a due season. I'm talking about your season. An era. I've been through an era. You live to be my age, you go through, you know, people talk about the 60s. I don't even remember them. The 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Let me tell you something. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. Praise God. It even gets better. I'm telling you, it gets better. It gets better. It gets better. I'm getting ready to help you. You may not even be able to sit down for this. You better stand up. Go ahead. You got to retrain this church all over again, man. It's going to be a due season. More and more and more. It's going to be a due season. He's opening the door. More and more and more and more. look as good as I feel, I'm doing okay because I'm feeling pretty good right now. Oh. All right, it gets better. It gets better. How many of you have been believing for, be honest, increase in your pay? How many have been believing get all your bills paid off? How many of you have been believing for a new vehicle? How many of you have been believing for a new house? How many of you have been believing for your ministry to expand? How many of you have been believing for your loved ones to get saved? Should have put that first, right? How many have been believing for something big? Talk to me. Say, big. My God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you can ask or think, by the power that works in us. Hallelujah! I'm talking about bigger than you've ever dreamed, bigger than anything you've ever seen. My God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you can ask or think. Are you a big asker? Are you a big thinker? Well, God is getting ready to blow your mind because he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything. Don't be afraid to dream big. Don't be afraid to ask for big things. God is a big God. This era that we're moving into is not an era of barely get along. This era that we're moving into isn't an era of just holding on by the skin of our teeth. This era that we're getting ready to move into isn't just one of marking time and marching in place. This era that we're getting ready to move into is a whole new thing. Don't be afraid about going to Baltimore, because God is opening up a brand new door. Yeah, yes, it's going to be abundance like you've never seen. God is going to bless you with everything. It's going to be a new season. Lift your hands, wave them around, new season. Abundantly, exceedingly abundantly. Man, it's just like one modifier is not enough. Two modifiers are not enough. Exceedingly abundantly above anything. You talk about superlatives, exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you can ask or think. I mean, that's like to the second power, to the third power, to the fourth power, to the fifth power. Anybody here know anything about mathematics? Anyone know here about exponential increase? Anybody here know about blessings upon blessings? God is not into adding. He didn't tell Adam and Eve, be fruitful and add to the earth. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. God's into multiplying. He'll multiply the seed that you sow. Hallelujah. He will do exceedingly, abundantly, far, far above anything that Joel can ask or Joel can think. And I know that Joel is a big thinker. Anything. Anything, anything, anything. You know what I like to do? I think you know this. I just like to get on one scripture and just stay there. These guys, I go to church, they give 20 scriptures. I don't remember but one of them anyway. So just get on the one and stay there. Amen. You're doing real good if you leave church with one idea. So I don't try to preach three or four ideas. I just try to preach one idea, but I preach it over and over and over. Here it is. My due season's coming. Come on, clap the hands. Your due season is coming. 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 Exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or think. By, here comes the condition, the dunamis that works in us. Here's where my job kicks in. Dunamis. Ah, Holy Ghost power. You know why people faint? They need some more power. Hallelujah. You know why people quit? Because they need some more power. Hallelujah. You know why people give up? Because they don't have enough power. When you got power, you can't quit. When you got power, you can't give up. When you have power, you're just like an Energizer bunny. You just keep on going and going and going. Hallelujah. Amen. According to the power. Hallelujah. You'll receive power. Praise God. I'll tell you why you're going to reap. Because you got power to move into the promised land. You got power. Yes, you can. You got power. It's working in me and you so that we can do what God said we can do. And he said we can move into a new season. Raise your hands. God's getting ready to zap you with the power of the Holy Ghost. The lightnings of God are getting ready to flash through your soul. He's going to give you a quick, deep, full cycle charge here today. Praise God. I mean, if you had a Tesla automobile, you'd have to charge it up 2 or 3 times a week. You got to go to the gas station, get some high octane, some power in your car. You know why people get weak and weary? They run out of power. Well, we can do something about that. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes and say, Brother Larry, the devil has been trying to discourage me. The devil has been trying to tell me it ain't working. The devil's been trying to tell me what's the use. The devil's been trying to get me to just quit. The devil's been trying to get me just to get me to fold up my tent, go somewhere else. The devil's been somehow talking to you. Maybe hasn't been the devil. Maybe you're just worn out. Maybe you've just been burning your candle at both ends. Maybe family and work and job and responsibilities has drained you, and you're going on fumes right now. You're just going on grit and willpower. Well, that's a good thing, because stubbornness is patience with a person, with a purpose. But, honey, it doesn't have to be that hard. God's got some power here today, and he's going to recharge you. If you say, I need a full cycle charge on my batteries, let me see your hand go up. Yeah, hallelujah. Let's move this pulpit out of the way. Well, get ready. Everybody raise your hand. Let's come up here and get recharged. This is a good way to start off a Sunday morning for a 38-year anniversary celebration. Oh, the best is yet to come. Full cycle charge. I'm charged up. Hallelujah. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up. Power. Power. You shall lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. Power. 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 All you need is more power. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, let the power flow until everything's aglow. Power, a full charge in the name of the Lord. Power to get going. That's it, that's it, that's it. To get going and moving and grooving. To keep on keeping on. Power in the name of the Lord. There it is, went right into you. Power, quick charge, full cycle, deep cycle power. God's putting something in you today. Receive it, believe it, and you shall achieve it. Church, stretch your hands out towards them. Pray a blessing on them. Power, power to keep on keeping on. Power to take that next step. Power to walk on into promised land. Power to not look back. Power to stay on track. Power. It's yours today, and that's a fact. Power, 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 deep, quick charge, full cycle, power, power. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask or think, according to the power that works in you, according to the power. You got to cooperate, receive his power. You receive his power, he gives you the ability to do exceeding and abundantly, to receive exceedingly and abundantly, to receive exceedingly abundantly. Power from the top of your head to the tips of your toe. Sometimes that second blessing is better than the first. Ha, ha, ha. Elemo sudi ava sheke lemona bosu didi echeke nahona lama saka de bosu monahata. Praise the lamasu gudi ama shapo rete lemonahata. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're not quite done yet. We're getting ready to go to another evening service here tonight, and this will just be a stepping stone to get you ready for what God has for you this week. It's step by step. Praise God. Step by step. This is the first step. Get your battery recharged. Get that power going on the inside of you. Power! God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything we ask or think according to the power that works on the inside of us. That means you. There's power working inside of you. The closest I ever came to being discouraged was a few years back when betrayal came into my marriage. And my best friend, my leader, my pastor, and my wife betrayed me. It was discouraging. But I didn't quit. I can't tell you I wasn't tempted to quit. All of a sudden, walking on a beach in Costa Rica with my hair hanging down to here and hairs growing out of every wart and mole, barefoot in the sand became a pretty picture. But I knew that wasn't right. You know, the Holy Ghost won't let you quit. And I said, well, Lord, I need a wife. And he said, I got one picked out for you. I said, I'd like to pick her up myself. He said, oh, you're going to like her. And I said, well, I'd like to see her. He said, I know what you need. I know what you like. You're going to like her. And then Ms. Loretta came into my life, and oh, I like her. And it was the beginning of a whole new era. Hallelujah. A door shut behind me, and a door opened ahead of me. And I tell you, I walked into a new era, and things have never been the same. Praise God. Sometimes it looks like it ain't going to happen. But in a day, God can change all of your tomorrows forever. It looked like it wasn't going to happen for Joseph. Put in a pit, sold into slavery, a slave in Potiphar's house, betrayed, unjustly thrown into prison, forgotten about, but he kept on keeping on. And then one day the Pharaoh had a dream. And the next thing you know, Joseph is the prime minister of the greatest civilization on planet Earth. Everything changed in a single day. Everything changed in a single day. I wonder, and only eternity knows, how many people quit one day before their due season. Wonder how many preachers gave up one day for their blessing. Smithton, Missouri, the pastor was discouraged, little country town, 150 people, wasn't even incorporated. Half the streets weren't paved. Tiny congregation. Problems. He was discouraged. He said, God, if something doesn't happen, this is my last day. If you don't show up, I'm walking away from this church and I'm never coming back. The power of God hit that church and split the pulpit right down the middle. And they moved into a new season. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know, I think 1 million people went through the Smithton Revival in Smithton, Missouri. You say, I don't know where that is. That's my point. I want to pray for you one more time before we bring Pastor Jim back up. Father, I thank you for everyone who's here, every man, woman, boy, and girl. And I believe you have scheduled each and every one of us for a due season. Due means it's on the schedule. Due means it's on the calendar of heaven. Due means it's on God's to-do list. Due means that there's a timing. And I'm not here today to say if that timing is 1 hour from now or 1 day from now, but I know in my spirit, I'm being as honest as I know how to be, I know we're so close. I know we're so near. You know, the faith part of me says, call those things that be not as though they already are. And I believe that. It's a reality. But there is a step. And I don't believe it's many steps. I believe we're one little step away. Nobody's looking but me. You say, Brother Larry, I'm not even sure if there is a God. I'm not even sure about heaven and hell. I'm not even sure about salvation. Well, God has scheduled you to be here. And God has a blessing scheduled for you. Nobody's looking around but me. And you say, Brother Larry, I'm not sure about heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. But if it's true, I'd really like to be saved. May I see your hand if that's you? There are others? Did you have your hand up, sweetie? You did. God bless you. Are there others? Sometimes when we're in celebration meetings, anniversary meetings, we don't take the time to just ask if everybody's had an encounter with the Lord. I've had you sit and stand, but I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Is this your mama here? I'm sorry, I can't even see from here. I'm wearing... What's your name? Martha, you're such a gracious spirit. Thank you for forgiving me. Would you come down here where I am? Marcia or Martha? Wow. Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. You are encumbered with many things. That's what Jesus said.
Yes, he has.
Lots of challenges. Well, look at it this way. I know just from what you've just said, just what I feel in my spirit, you've been through a lot.
I have.
But listen, I want to promise you this. God's got better things up the road ahead.
I feel like he has.
All right.
He's been speaking to me.
All right. Well, then let's you and I just do this and reaffirm our faith, okay? You're a woman of faith. Let's everybody do this. Let's say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe in you. I believe your promises. They're true. I've been through a lot, but I didn't quit. I'm going further into my blessings, which you have promised, in Jesus' name. And I expect it. Now, there's the Holy Ghost coming on you right now. If you open up your mouth and start praising him, I believe you'll have a miracle in your mouth. Ebo suku de ha ha. E lavo si de hama. Go de vishe bonda hata. Ha ha ha. Ruku de base de bonda. Halamo siti le bondo. Hushe ke de mana hata le bo sosto. Go ahead. E le mando vo suku de banda. That's the Holy Ghost. That's why your lips are stammering. That's the Holy Ghost. Everybody here who prays in tongues, pray in tongues. Worthy, you're speaking in tongues. That's the promise of Joel, not this Joel, the other Joel. In Jesus'
name.
Amen. All right, come on up here. Thank you for bringing your friend. I want you to take her back to your seat. Keep on praying for Martha. Everybody here going to pray for Martha? Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap.
You may be seated for a moment.
I want to give you an opportunity to invest in the ministry that God has called Ambassador Huggins to carry to the nations. If you need a seed envelope, the ushers will put one in your hand. You can make your checks payable to House of the Lord, and that way, at the end of the week, we can give Brother Larry one check to say, this is your family at House of the Lord, cooperating together with you and joining together with you in the gifts and calling that God has placed on you. In a moment, you'll make out your checks. You'll fill your envelope. You'll be ready to minister to the Lord. I don't want you to forget about the cake and punch and refreshments in the front foyer. Just go down this hall and turn left in the front foyer, and we'll be celebrating 38 years of being a church family, of growing in grace, growing in knowledge, and learning that faith received through knowledge of God's Word produces truth in the actions of your life. You'll start living out the Word you lay hold of. And when you do, the world changes. I've been up, I've been down, and I fought the devil for what I thought was the final round. But God is faithful. His word is true, and he's always been there. Sometimes I ask him why he didn't do it this way, and he doesn't even answer me. He ignores me because he doesn't want to insult my ignorance. But God continues to change lives and people. It's also good today to have Brother Bob Gloris and Dan with us. It's been a day or two since I've seen her. Are you ready to minister to the Lord in your giving? Then the ministers will be passing the offering envelopes to receive your investment in the ministry. Andre Crouch said it best, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." I said, "Can't
nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord.
You dismiss, and I decree God's blessings upon you. Join us in the front foyer for some cake and punch, and as people are standing in line, tell them congratulations on standing for your day of due season. You're blessed. Go with God.
Heal my body, told me to run on.